We are still obviously dealing with the pandemic in a very big way. And yet, the market keeps running to all-time highs. All-time highs. What a week. What a market. It's unbelievable. It just simply is unbelievable to most people. Can the market really be looking that far ahead to better times? And it does. And it's always baffling. It's so baffling that you hear this constantly in business reporting. You literally hear it from people who are, quote, professionals. Now, most of the time, the professionals are nothing more than talking heads, parroting each other, and really there's absolutely zero insight. And I mean that. I guess I mean it with all due respect, but it's like listening to politicians babble. It's completely unimportant 99% of the time. It's babble, you know, babble their position. Well, we really think the Republicans are big, mean, bad people, and old people are going to go hungry. Yeah, well, we really think that the Democrats won't show up, and it's just blah, blah. It's completely meaningless. The same thing is true of talking heads on Wall Street. They say nothing 99% of the time. Literally nothing. But it drives people to be saying or parroting themselves what they know nothing about. And so we get this constant loop. I don't want to be too far out of bounds. I mean, once in a while, you'll catch somebody up there and says, wait a minute. Now, you've been really bullish through this time. You still think the market can run like crazy? I do. I really do. I really like what's going on out here. And here's why. You know, they're not afraid of their job. They actually have an outlier opinion. But it is interesting. I remember talking this week with somebody, and I just can't quite capture who that was. But it was just a great conversation about what had happened within their family. And within their family that, well, here's what happened. Dad just owned stocks. He bought them, and he just kind of said the best thing to do is leave them alone. And he did. And the family has a legacy. They didn't have a lot of money initially, but it sure built up to a lot over time. And I thought that was just such an interesting thing. We weren't talking about holding stocks long term. It was just that, well, here's what my dad did, and here's what he said. And it was like, wow, that is the key. And today the key is not that. It's having fun. It's trading. It's going crazy. And we hear those conversations all the time. Well, I want to trade. I like this. I want to it's okay. It's like sports betting. They like the action. And I get that. It can be fun, I guess, but it is something that can be very expensive. And we have to actually be honest. And most people aren't. Are they honest with their results? Do they actually write down how their trading's doing? Or are they just pretty good at it? You know, like grandma's pretty good at slot machines. You know, we've all heard that before, right? So it's just one of those things where we're seeing an awful lot of trading. And I think when we watch business news and watch the 99% that have nothing to say, we feel driven to trade or do things or be in complete disbelief. We've got to time this market rather than, here's what my dad did. He said, just leave it alone. So sorry about that. We have no idea what happened. So just lost the call, and hopefully this will be very easy the rest of the way out. We'll see. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. I'm sure the music will end soon. Hang on. All right, we were talking about how COVID and everything is just throwing us off about what the market's doing, right? I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy to think that in the middle of a pandemic, when there's all this shutdown, unemployment is so high that we could be at all-time highs. It seems impossible. It seems disconnected from reality without understanding that of where we're going and how strong the underlying economy was less than 6 months ago. Less than 6 months ago, the world was normal. We traveled a lot. We complained about how busy airports were, restaurants couldn't get into. And now, of course, the opposite is true. But things are picking up, and as I promised, I would talk a little bit about these weeks. I want to give you data. I think that we try to find, unfortunately, when we're talking about the market, we're talking about COVID, we're talking about whatever it is, the economy. In this world, it's nothing but politics. So if you turn on the mainstream media, it's nothing but body counts. It's not vaccines. It's not 135 different companies. Let me restate that. 135 vaccines. 135 of them are being worked on. This is like nothing we've ever seen before. But everybody has an answer. And the only real answer, of course, is that Donald Trump has done an amazing job, but all he can do is bumble his way every time they put a microphone near him and make sure that the message gets lost. But when you think about what they've done here to open up and promote by giving a couple billion dollars here, a billion there, for the research, for starting to make vaccines, whether they work or they don't, then this is just nothing like this. And we are going to be ready soon. And this is only on the vaccine. What about all the therapeutics that are out there? All the therapeutics are amazing. And they're keeping people alive. Nothing like this has happened before. And we say, well, but we should have all worn masks. Well, they do in Japan, and they're spiking like crazy. They have in California for, 5 months now? And they're spiking. The death rate is highest in California now. I'm not saying don't wear masks. My point is that the data is always construed with my political party is making the best decisions on this. Oh, yeah, well, you guys are all a bunch of losers, and we've got to get away from that. And we won't, or we will, right after the election. Then we'll start talking about the fact that Sweden, maybe they didn't do it all wrong after all, since all the places that were so heroic are blowing up again. Europe is again. This is crazy, but we've got to pay attention to it. A virus is a virus is a virus. It keeps in finding a way to break out, doesn't it? It's actually back in New Zealand, which was so certain, and there's the heroes of the world shut down. How is it in Hawaii at all when you have to quarantine for 2 weeks? But they did such a great job, and California is amazing and having their shutdown. Well, why are they blowing up? This is not a put down. It's saying we want to look at the data. 135 vaccines, 20 of them already are being tested. 20. 11 are in expanded trials because they've already got through the initial testing. And 2 are already approved for some use. But you see, the data is always moving. We're told to do this. We only need 2 weeks. We've got to flatten the curve. Now it's 2 months. No, it's not. It's 6 months we need. And many say we should just shut down. We shouldn't go back to school. We need to not do that. And yet when we talk about all these things, we miss the big point. Drug overdoses in March rose by 18%. Now, that's just the beginning of corona, so it must be fine now. No, it's 29% in April and 42% in May. That's just drug overdoses. That's all. Drug-related deaths have increased 13% so far this year over last year. I don't believe that's in the count. I don't think we count it, that there are consequences to shoving people in their house and telling them they don't have a life. They're not allowed to. When we look at the real data, this is a disease that affects old people, period. More children have died from the flu this year. Yes, in America, by multiples. It's not even close. It's not even close. But we're not even talking about going to school. In some cases, they've decided, well, we're going to put it off. We're going to teach from home. I don't see any downside to that. I know when I was 12, 13, 14 years old, that was going to work really good. At home, David alone in front of his computer. No, I can't see anything going wrong there. Learned really well. Look, I know it sounds like I have an opinion and I'm biased. I just want us to look at the data. That's what I want to look at. I want to look at the hard data, not my feelings about it. And the hard data says that a third of the deaths occur with 2% of the population. Two is a third of the deaths. People 85 and over. Nearly half are the rest of the 65 to 85-year-olds, meaning 92.5% of people 55 and older, that's all the deaths. 92.5% of the deaths are 55 and older, not 40-year-olds that are overweight with diabetes or whatever it is, whatever comorbidity we want to talk about. And when we put that in context, by overall deaths, again, we're back to this whole, what are we talking about? We are talking about, with COVID, less than 10% of the deaths for people 85 and over. I'm not saying we don't protect them. I'm simply saying 500,000 people over age 85 have died this year because that's pretty normal, right? But 47,000 of them died of COVID. Now, would they have died anyway? Of course, we all are going to. I'm just saying we have to look at this. Is this something that we are willing to annihilate an economy, change our lives, have known depressions, drug abuse, all those things, spike, and children who are dysfunctional because we can't get them in the programs that they need? I think we need to be careful about that. That's all. And I want you to have the data because it's not out there. And I don't know why. This is all from the CDC. It's from Worldometers. It's compiled by from the World Health Organization, which I know is, whatever. You can have an opinion about. The point is, the data is readily available, but it's not put together. We talk about places like Sweden being a huge, how stupid they were. The New York Times wrote huge articles about it. But they don't write articles like the death rate per million is 25% as high as what it was in New York. Because it doesn't fit the narrative. We don't know, and that's the thing. It's so hard. I don't know that should we all wear masks all the time? I don't know. But it's busting out all over the world, and we need to have that discussion. I do know this. The economic data is improving. That's a big deal. It's a really big deal. We're going the right way. And when we get this wrong information, we're not going back to school. We got to go back into shutdown. There are places that are doing that. I get it. We're shutting in 20% or so of our GDP. It's a big number. You can't go out to a restaurant in many places. That's a detriment to getting back on track, but it's not stopping the country. The data is just simply too strong. And people want to go and see their grandkids. And we're doing it safely. The people aren't walking off of planes and dropping dead. Flight attendants aren't. I know that's all anecdotal, but I haven't heard of any problem there. And they're sitting in these death planes, right? They're so dangerous to fly. It makes no sense to me. Why aren't they all, I mean, flight attendants are like special people that don't have these, you know, COVID? No. It's just, we're figuring it out. And we need to understand that when we're sitting around thinking about what the economy is going to do. How's the market going to react? And I know it's a political season, so it makes it very hard to do. But we have moved from in lockdown near 100% of our GDP all the way down to 20. There are 9 or 10 states where cases are rising. The rest are not. That's good news. We're getting closer to vaccines. We're learning more about how to treat it. It's a virus. I wish we could wave a magic wand. We all stayed at home for like 2 weeks and it magically went away, never to come back again. But that's not the case. But people are still figuring out a way. They're really figuring out a way. And I think that's really the lesson here of why the market is doing better than it's supposed to be doing. Because it is. It's doing much better. It's all-time highs. All-time highs. Isn't that crazy? It seems crazy. Listen, this is not going to be bump-free. We know that. This is not bump-free at all. It's going to be tough to come out of this and come out of this strong. But the reality is the economy's busting out. TSA had record number of passengers, but the best numbers since the pandemic broke out. We are busting out. Keep that in mind. All right, in the second hour, we're going to talk a little bit about the 10 investment commandments, and hopefully we'll hear from you. Shoot us an email, dave@petrofinancial.net. We'll be back right after Fox News. Thanks for tuning in. Hello, welcome to hour number two. Thank you so much for joining. And our number is, of course, 580-5436. It's 580-KIDO. If you prefer email, and that is just fine, it's dave@petsofinancial.net. Now, remember, as we say every week, these are my opinions and my opinions only. And we may talk about a stock. We may talk about, who knows, some kind of product or municipal bonds may be a place to hide with Joe Biden, but you don't just go do those things. That's just silly. It's just absolutely silly. We don't know your portfolio. I don't know your portfolio. You have to be taking these things in context. And so we say them and speak about them with hopefully a learning. You know, we're just trying to learn from this and give you ideas to think about and broaden your thinking. We're not here to sell you an annuity. That's absurd. We're not here to sell a stock. Everybody's portfolio should be directed to what their objectives are, but not in fear. Not, hey, I'm so scared, I want to tie up all my money and I want to give half of my money away to high fees. But that's okay, since it's an insurance product, we can lie about the fact that you don't pay any fees. It's absurd. This is a heavily regulated industry, and there are loopholes, and it is unfortunate. And I wish all of you would call the Department of Insurance and complain about it. I'm serious. It's just something that they've been working on, but it really helps to have more public pressure that it's not okay to just state untruths. It's not okay at all. So don't be running in fear about things. I want to talk a little bit about this, and then I'm going to roll into the 10 investment commandments a little bit, because I said we'd talk a little bit about that. And the reason I do want to talk about that is because it is so important for us to be thinking about some of the basics in a time where there's so much noise, so much turmoil, so much politics, that it is confusing and frightening. And people are frightened, and I know they are. I hear it every week. What are we doing about this? What if the election goes this way? What about this? Should I be doing real estate? Should I be doing gold? What about? I was hearing about this option trading program. Bad idea, always. But we're being driven. And we're being driven very much by intensity of information, intensity of fear. It's a very fearful fire hose of data being thrown at us, and it's all fearful. You just can't imagine. I get these Bloomberg alerts, right, on my phone, just try to keep up. They are the most negative. Of course, they hate Trump, Donald Trump. He's just so hated, it doesn't matter what's going on in the economy. It's bad. Economists are really happy with jobs report, but it's always with a but, okay, instead of it's just a great report. And that's the way most data is. And you think about it, 95% more of the bullet points you get are negative. They're negative. Now, that's just, we're asking our brains to then say, that's all right. 19 out of the 20 inputs into my head are negative, but I'm a positive, clear-headed person. Not even just positive, just like, I can clearly see the world. I see the good and the bad, but all my inputs are bad. That's just not, we just aren't built like that. There's no way. I know you're tough as nails. I know you're really an optimistic person, but we have to be so careful about what the inputs are. Because when they're all bad all the time, it's just not enough to overcome them. It's like your mother said, you know, who are your friends? Yeah, well, Johnny's not a very good kid. Now the parents are worried. Why? Because all of your inputs are negative. If you're around the wrong people, mom knows that. But what are your data points when they're coming in? Well, I could take a lot of news in and then I just sit around and do what? Nothing. Twiddle your thumbs. The world's coming to an end. I don't want to invest. And we forget the basics. Buy great companies. Buy the great companies. When should I have sold Apple over the last 10 years? When? That's not a hindsight question. That's one that's ongoing all of the time. All the time. Remember the iPhone 4 wasn't nearly as good. There's no way the iPhone 5 was going to sell very good. Samsung had a better phone until it blew up on an airplane. Remember all the new competition. Who's going to pay $800 for a new iPhone? The list goes on every single quarter, quarter after quarter. The analysts are paraded on. The smartest people, all they do is count the number of phones in the world and the demand, and they know what's going on. And they all say, the technology's just not there. Apple's nothing more than a cell phone maker. I don't like the outlook here. How many times did you, with that data, get scared out? If it's one time, you don't own it anymore. And the fact that you bought it at a split adjusted $20 and it's now $440 or $450, you don't get that. But that's okay because you made money when it went to $50, split adjusted. But you don't get all that because you were scared out, because you didn't want to continue to own a high quality company. I get it. But that's why we have to watch the data, watch the inflow. It's tough, for sure. And that's why we have to hang on and grab onto the basics in the noisy, noisy world. And we have to talk about it and think about it. Well, here's what I'm thinking right now. And you can't hide in cash because it earns zero. You can, but you can't do that as a pension fund manager, and that's who drives the markets. The endowments, the pension fund managers, the big institutions that are trading in billions of dollars. And now we have the excuse today that, oh, it's all the people at Robinhood buying a fractional share of Amazon that's driving this absurd stuff in the market. It's like, how many one-tenth of a share do we have to buy when there's millions of shares of Amazon traded every day? They're not driving it. It's just, it's continued babble. This is because, you know what it is, babble about? This is why I've missed the market. I should have been bullish, but I've been bearish for the whole time, and now I'm going to make excuse number 10 as to how this is irrational and wrong. It was all the Fed. That's why I missed it, because the Fed screwed me up. This is all phony. It's all the Fed. And then you miss it. And then it's all this and all that, instead of saying and focusing on the quality companies out there and owning them. Now, you know what quality companies end up doing sometimes? I mean, let's be fair. It's not always just Apple. It's not Google. It's not Amazon. We can recognize all of those after the fact. But you don't have to buy them in an IPO to have made a ton of money in any of them, because they were great 10 years ago. They were greater 5 years ago, and they're even better today, and the price just keeps going. But what happens sometimes is you end up with the greatest aerospace company in the world, and then a couple jets fall out of the sky. I'm not demeaning that at all. People died. But a couple jets fall out of the sky, that's not good. And then you get hit with a pandemic. This is disaster. That's why you have to diversify. You can't just own one company, because stuff happens. But when you take it all together and you go, man, my Boeing just got cut in half. That's terrible. That's horrible. I thought you just owned stocks, Dave. You do. Okay. Sometimes you have to go, hey, this is bad. They're going to get it and I have to sell and I'm going to take a loss. And then you go on and you say, well, that's okay, because my Apple's up 20-fold since I bought it. Yeah, that'll cover up a 50% loss, pretty much. And when we think of quality and we think of owning, that's not what the world tells us, ever. It tells us to trade. Come on, be a hero. Make $1 million real fast, or you don't want to be playing in the Wall Street casino. Guess what? I don't play. Serious money, serious people don't play. They own. It's not playing to own Apple. It's not playing to own the S&P, which since 1926, yes, prior to the Great Depression, has averaged 10% per year. But through that average, you have years where you don't gain. You lose if you sell. It doesn't change anything. And so then when suddenly something like gold goes, I would say, okay, there it is. Now let's talk about gold for a while. Now we've got to talk about gold for a while. And then we don't for a while because, you know, it retreats because gold doesn't do anything. It's a lump. It sits there in a lump. You can turn it into a nice ring or pendant or something, and probably your girlfriend's going to like that a lot. So maybe it has some value. But as sitting in your safe, to be safe, is absurd. I mean, when people talk about it, it's like, well, you could buy it and you could sell it. Well, what about zinc? I mean, I'm thinking zinc is way better right now, because when I look at the charts and zinc is like, you know, it's perfect. It's got double top, triple down thingy bobber there, support level. I'm just thinking zinc is going to go to the moon. Zinc has as much use, more use than gold does. So does copper. We actually use it. I don't hear people going, well, what do you think about zinc? What do you think about copper? What do you think about a lump sitting in my safe? I don't think much about it. But whenever something's hot, people run. They run to it for a second because they're always chasing what's hot. We're chasing this dream that we're going to get rich quick, live a happy life. And we miss the whole point that, of course, whether you get rich quick or you don't, that has nothing to do with living a happy life. And people that do get rich quick, it really doesn't usually end well. And that is the tiniest of all fractions, because people that run at things, like I really feel strongly about red right now, you might win a hand or two, but you're done. We all know that. You might do really well on pot stocks for a while, but they'll flame out. You might do really good on whatever is hot in the market, you read about it, you jump on it, it's great. I mean, Kodak went straight up Why? Because they're going to go ahead and manufacture in the United States drugs. Well, I guess that's the end of the story. This $5 stock ought to go to 50 and then on to 100. Except it didn't. Because that's not the way it works. We've got to be careful. And running from one thing to another. What do you think about real estate? What do you mean real estate? What do you think? What are you talking about? I mean, there's all kinds of real estate. You're talking about commercial buildings. No, I was just, rentals. What, you mean like single family rentals that for the last 50 years have performed relatively poorly, like 1% above inflation? Oh, well, I heard about this one over here and it's going really good. All that really is I'm familiar with real estate, so I'm comfortable. Doesn't make it a good investment. Comfort is not a good investment. Comfort, most of the time, is a really bad investment, even in stocks. Why? Because when we feel comfortable with something, it's really worked so well, and our price we pay is very high. And when it comes to real estate, this is not hard to figure out. It sticks and bricks, man. If you're talking about a development, forget about it. That takes millions of dollars. You got to go through the political process. You got to have all this money tied up for a long period of time. It's dangerous. Different ballgame, requires expertise. What I'm saying is, hey, I found a really screaming deal on a house. I just can't believe how great a deal it is. Really. And there weren't 100 other people ready to buy that property right now with cash. Nope. Nobody wanted it. Strange. Like, yeah, okay. I can't wait to hear the report coming back of what's wrong with that house. I bought one of those. I know. No, I'm serious. My home, I knew. It was on the market forever. I'm the only schlep that's going to buy it because I knew how much work it was going to need. I knew it. I wanted it anyway. It's okay, but it's not an investment. I understand that. And when we start talking about these things like this is a new move, it's not. It's driven by fear and fear of something that we don't understand. Why are stocks where they are? Why can't you leave it alone? Why can't you leave your Apple alone? Why can't you leave your Amazon alone? Why do you feel the need to trade it? Why do you feel that it's a loss if it's down over some period of time? Like it goes up tenfold, a great company, and it goes back to only up ninefold. Have you made ninefold or have you now lost 10% of your money? It's psychological, and I understand that. Of course you've made ninefold your money, but that's not what you feel like, and that's not what you would tell people. I should have sold. I knew it. I knew we were at a peak. I just knew it. No, you didn't. And I'm glad you hung on to it because then it went up to 20-fold. But when it pulls back again and it's certain to occur over and over again all the days of our life, market correction, we flip out. We do. I didn't do anything. I'm not doing. No, we feel bad that we should have, would have, could have done something, right? And we didn't. Human nature. But we can conquer it, but it's awful hard if all you do is take a fire hose of data and blast it into your eyeballs, into your ears, and say, oh my gosh, the world is coming to an end. 95% bad information coming in. And also it's incorrect data, as we point out every week with the COVID. It's all there, but it's coming to you too fast and angrily. And negative. But you're supposed to happily sing a song, whistle past the quotes graveyard, and hang on to your investments. And the answer is yes. It is. Hang on. Hang on. And quit looking every day. And quit listening to negative Nellies. They've been there your whole life. Your whole life. All right. We got to take a break. And I know Jim's on the phone. We want to take your phone calls as well. But I got to take a quick break. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. I know we've got some emails. We're going to stack them up. Please give us a shot. We're going to take some time and answer those today. It's dave@petsofinancial.net. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. It's 580-5436, 580-KIDO, dave@petsofinancial.net. And I love giving out the data every week. If somebody wants a hard copy of it, that's fine. Just shoot us a note at petsofinancial www.bathroomtalk.com. You can find us there and shoot us an email and say, hey, I want to get that data that Dave talked about. Okay. All right. So let's go and go to the phones. Jim, thanks for holding. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Dave, what's happening?
Hey, enjoying a gorgeous, gorgeous morning.
Yeah, I haven't seen a bit of virus. I'll tell you what, I keep my eyeballs peeled for that virus, and so far I haven't seen a bit.
Yeah, well, good. Good.
Of course, I'm in my little cave of a house, and I've got rodents around it. Okay, hold on just a second.
Hey, Dave, are you there?
I am.
My new technology, my wireless phone battery went low. So I'm on right now, I'm on the landline, but I'm also on a rotary phone, you know, that we used to have, one that's attached to the wall.
The ones that you now would use for home defense, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, you throw it at somebody.
Yeah, you take the thing and swing it, and it's going to kill somebody.
That's right, there you go.
Well, anyway, the only thing I was calling in about, you know, you mentioned like Yahoo Finance, and not to pay attention to any articles, and I never do or anything. The only thing I get on Yahoo Finance are figures, you know, of stocks or whatever. But I did notice one headline that said something about Buffett was buying Barrick Gold. I used to have Barrick Gold. We sold that. But anyway, so Buffett was buying Barrick Gold.
Well, that should certainly promote Barrick Gold stock. There you go. I don't know anything about it, but I do know that how Warren Buffett feels about gold, and I wouldn't begin to disagree with him about investing. It's up to each individual, but Warren Buffett puts it very well. All the gold in the world can be stacked in a cube smaller than a baseball diamond, and it will produce nothing, no earnings, no dividends, no interest. It'll produce nothing. And it has a value that you could buy up all the farmland in the United States. And you go through this whole somebody did a whole bunch of research of how many different S&P 500 companies you could buy for all the gold and all the earnings and all the revenue and all the crops that it grows. So it's a wide variety of things. And it really kind of goes, wow, yeah, what a complete waste that we chase such nonsense. Well, but when you're buying companies, the question is does Barrick have a profitability or any gold company for whatever it is they mine? Most gold companies don't just mine gold. They mine silver and most of the time other industrial metals as well. So I'm not saying you couldn't own them, but I've certainly fortunately steered away from mining companies.
Well, yeah. You had mentioned that, and I've heard, I guess, that Berkshire Hathaway owns a lot of that. What was that insurance company?
Geico.
Yeah, Geico.
They don't own a lot of it. They own it, the whole thing. Yeah.
Well, and you had mentioned that they were insurance was attached to interest rates, and it just doesn't seem like something intelligent that even Warren Buffett would have.
Well, no, it is what has fueled Berkshire Hathaway's massive growth is the cash flow from his financial enterprises. You have to understand that this is not a new owning for him. It's just saying that Geico is an insurance company, and they've done very well in the past. All insurance companies have, because you pay your premiums, and you do or you don't make a claim, but they get to hold the premiums. And then if they've done good underwriting or even reasonable underwriting, they get to the float and can earn 2, 3, 4, 5, 6% in the past off of your money, so to speak. And it's been a very profitable enterprise. But that's why you're seeing now that's just not been very profitable for these companies. It's not, because interest rates are zero. And they are required to have about 90% in fixed investments, which means they're sitting there earning next to nothing on these cash reserves. That's the reason why insurance companies, if you will, life insurance companies, if you own a life insurance policy, you've seen your dividends decline, and there's almost no hope they're going to go back up at any point in time in your lifetime. And I don't mean that interest rates can't rise, but they have to rise dramatically to have these dividends go back up. So none of the insurance companies are doing well, and that's why their stocks are languishing and why Berkshire Hathaway has a bit of an anchor right now. They've got great industries, but at the same time, that's one of the reasons the stock is languishing. It's really an insurance company.
I watch a lot of Dateline, and I'll tell you what, it seems like, insurance companies are getting screwed all the time. I mean, people being knocked off, you know, insurance policies. It's amazing how much insurance companies are being taken advantage of.
Well, exactly. They're really not the bad guys in the world. I know they have acted poorly, and sometimes they harass people over claims that they shouldn't. And I know some companies simply act badly. But at the same time, generally speaking, you're right, Jim. It's kind of like I remember a call not long ago when COVID started from a person that works in real estate and simply saying, why is it that the landlord's the last person that is supposed to be paid ever? Like, there's some kind of bad guy. Like, if I collect rent on my property, I'm some kind of bad guy. And I thought that was really fair. If I am an insurance company and agree to reasonable terms with you to cover or not to cover, I don't know why I'm a bad guy. And so I get that, and I think that's a fair analysis. Jim, I got to go for Fox News.
Take care.
Thank you. Have a good day. And again, we do have to take a break here for Fox News. Terry, you're up to bat next. And our number, 580-KIDO. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you so much for joining us. If you prefer, it's dave@petsofinancial.net. If you prefer email, shoot it over. We'll be happy to get to it here in a few minutes. But right now, we've got Terry, who's waited forever. Terry, go ahead, please.
Well, good morning, Professor.
Good morning. Good morning, sir.
Hey, in the talking you were doing there and about the COVID and everything, and since you run around with all the movers and shakers out at Hillcrest, I was wondering, have you heard anything about what our local tax revenue is going to be like with business being closed and being shut down? And where are they going to get the money to run the government?
No, it's a great question. And I it's one that I know Kevin Miller asks the governor weekly, and that's probably going to be your number one source. But very frankly, they don't have the numbers from what I can gather, and I wouldn't imagine they would, because the reality is that everything's gone to zero, and they can run all kinds of models and projections just like we have on how big the COVID would be here and how to solve it there, and here's what's really good and here's what's working, and then we find that it's a virus. It's just going to bust out, and there's never been an answer. And in this case, trying to run projections, if we do open or don't open, I think is going to be very tough. But I don't have those numbers, and I haven't heard them yet. It is obviously devastating. And you think about losing football and all of the room taxes, just simple sales taxes on restaurant sales, all those things, just for, you know, seven football games or six or whatever it is astounding. And then you add all of the conventions that the Boise Convention Center won't be doing and all those rooms. It's astounding. I live and work. I mean, my office is in downtown, and it's still many of those businesses have not come back into their offices or working from home. And that continues to be devastating to any of the restaurants down there. Terry, you're right. It's a bad deal, but I don't have solid numbers.
Oh, okay. Well, I figured you'd have a better guess than I would.
It's just, no, I think we all have the same guess. It's devastating. It's going to be bad. But the good news is this. Idaho has not been spending money they don't have for decades the way Illinois, New York, New Jersey, fill in the blanks.
Right.
Just call them all the blue states, okay? And so now they want to raid the treasury of the people of Idaho and Wyoming and Alabama and all the dummies in flyover country and have them pay for all of their wrongdoing for the last 40 or 50 years. I don't think it's going to happen. It certainly isn't under this president, and I actually think it's going to be a very strong, powerful message this election season as well. Who's going to pay for that? The people that caused it or the whole nation? Because the reality is states need help, ours too, but it needs to be even, and it shouldn't be a bailout for all the past indiscretions.
Right. I was trying to explain to the girlfriend last night about how smart the rainy day fund was.
Yes.
I'm sorry, we're fiscally responsible instead of being a profligate people and spending what we don't have, so... Yeah, we have better options than anybody else does.
We do. for absolutely for sure. That's for sure. All right, sir. Thank you so much.
All right, have fun and shoot well.
All right. All right, will do. Have a great day. Thank you, sir.
See you, Dave. Bye.
See you later. And our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO if you prefer email. Once again, it's dave@petsofinancial.net. Let's grab a quick email before our break here. A lot of stocks have gone parabolic, and when we look back at other stocks that have done that in the past, they seem to come back down fast or stagnate for years. Your comments, please. Joe, you're right. They do. And this is where we have to be careful with chasing and to what I kind of spoke about in my opening monologue. It's this chase game that people feel this need to try to find what's hot and get on it instead of having patience sitting on our hands, which is what great investors do. We feel this need to chase. And stocks that really run, and I don't have a problem with it. I really don't. I don't have a problem when people say, I want to do a little bit over here or there. And if, for example, I'm not going to go into the details because it's rather tricky to even try to explain. But when you get high volatility periods, you get opportunities in things like structured notes or even options, writing options, not buying them, but writing them because they pay ridiculous amounts. And those things can pop up quickly, and you can take advantage of that. But rather than chasing the stocks that have already run, you got to be careful out there. It's just took a call for Kodak and here recently, and I think I mentioned this one earlier today. You know, the stock had been up, I don't know, 80% like in the prior 2 days, and it's been up massively. But I want to jump on it because I think that's going to be a great thing, and they're going to get a loan. And I mean, about the second the purchase was made, it just turned right around and went crashing down. This happens. People bought Hertz rental car in bankruptcy. Pot stocks are the most classic, jump up and then flame out. Gold's the same. People will try to jump on a gold trade and make this happen quickly. It's really no different than natural gas a few years ago when people were trying to trade that like crazy. These are dangerous things when we chase, and you have to understand when you buy something, it can be really a great idea. Like tech stocks were in 1999, a great idea. And generally they were, right? The internet was new. It was going to be huge, and we need to get on that, but not at any price, because you pay too much, you get smoked. And that's why your point here of stagnating for years, that's what happened to Amazon. It stagnated. It came back. It was a great company. And many of the companies that are dot-coms in that era have come back and done very, very well. But during that time, people paid too much, and it took years. Cisco has never even approached its high of that time, not even close. So again, we see companies that still exist but can stagnate for years and really not be good investments because of that. So we don't want to overpay. You don't want to chase. And it is a real, and it's also one of those things too, if that's wrong in your life that you want to have this, I want to get rich quick thing, but you know that's not really a great trait, don't feed it with trying to get rich quick, right? We need to try to be the opposite of what our feelings are as human beings, and that is buy and own the great corporations of the world. Buy and own. Don't trade. Don't chase. You will be rich. It's really that simple. It really is. Add to your investment, stay out of debt, and sit on your hands. You get rich. That's been true my whole life, my dad's life, grandparents. It goes on and on, generation after generation. If you can do that, you win. Thanks for the email. It's dave@petsofinancial.net. We need to take a quick break. Final one. Ring us up. Shoot us an email. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thanks for joining us. Our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. Hopefully you'll have time to give us a quick call here. If not, that's okay. You can also reach us during the week at petsofinancial.com. We've got calculators and articles, podcasts, etc. for you if you would like to get more information. All right. Or if you missed something, don't forget we got the podcast there if you want to grab on to some of that data or something if you really missed it and really wanted to catch it, okay? All right, well, let's go ahead and take a quick call here. Let's go to John. John, thanks for calling. Go ahead, please.
Hey, how you doing? It's a first-time listener and first-time caller, and I don't know if I'm hitting the talking point on a previous show or not, but about our voting process. Could we talk about that, or should I call it different?
Voting, I'll tell you what, John, it's okay for that, I think. But I think the best bet is probably catch up to Kevin Miller and his morning show during the week for that, because they've got going to be a little more discussion.
Is it the same number? Yes, sir.
It is.
I was listening to him. Oh, okay. Good enough. I'll give him a call.
Yeah. Perfect. Okay. Perfect, John. Thank you. You have a great day. Hey. Thanks for the call anyway.
Thanks
for listening.
You too.
Bye. All right. And, okay, let me finish up. I want to put a bow around this today because, you know, just talking in general this morning earlier, kind of touched on this, and I really want to put a bow on it because our 10 investment commandments, right, we've been talking about it. What we know isn't worth knowing, number one. Don't overtrade, number two. Don't trade so much. And number three, as we're running this down, don't succumb to emotions. And we talked a lot about this, so I'm not going to beat this to death. But it's something that we really need to put before us and think about. Because everything in life is emotion. We're nothing more than an emotional soul wrapped in skin. It's just, that's what we are. That's what makes human beings beautiful, wonderful, amazing, loving creatures. No other is like us. Nothing else is like us. We're amazing. But it doesn't make us good investors at all. It makes us bad investors. Sometimes it makes us bad lovers, if you will. We make bad choices because we just get emotional instead of seeing with clarity what our partner's like or could be. It's just something we fight all of our life in every single thing. But I have to say this, it's just something within finance that is so powerful for people. It's so powerful that they get it wrong, so wrong, and then they make all kinds of excuses or do strange things just to cover up instead of just like addressing it. I'm an emotional wreck and I make bad decisions. That's a good starting place right there, right there. I get scared all the time. I need to deal with this. So what do I do? How do I change that? How do I just own the great corporations? How do I not get out there and get, I can't lose any more money. I don't want to do it. Or get caught up in, I just know there's a little leg left in these pot stocks. I can still make some money before and get out before we do that. Or I'm having so much fun trading options. We don't really know how much money we're putting away or how much time we're taking away from those precious things we'd rather do in life. It's a constant battle for all of us in all aspects of our life. But we know for an absolute fact that the worst thing you can do is yell fire in a crowded theater. The worst thing you can do is react in fear. Reacting in fear does what? We buy annuities out of fear. Not because they're good investments. They're horrifyingly bad investments. Nobody would willingly say, I want to pay 10% commission and not be able to take my money out for 10 years. Nobody would do that. I mean, nobody. But fear. Because we're afraid. And people are very, very good about helping you be afraid. So you should buy those things. Because I need a guarantee. Because there's COVID and there's the horrible Democrats and then there's this and you don't want. I mean, you can't do the roller coaster of the market. Yeah, I can. I can roller coaster my way to unbelievable wealth by doing nothing except controlling my emotions. That's all. You see, it really is that easy. If a cup of coffee a day, $150 a month for 40 years is worth over $1 million, and you don't do anything except own the market, no study, no nothing, just sit on your hands, no emotions, don't worry about what's going on in the world, leave it alone and add your $150 a month. Here's $1 million. That sounds absurd. And it is the truth of the last 40 years. A cup of coffee a day. Oh, but it's really hard. I've got so much debt. I got this. I got that. We want to hang out with my bros. You can't do a cup of coffee a day Yes, you can. And everybody can. And all they have to do is leave it alone. And it's $1 million. So the question is this, why don't we do that? I mean, it really is that easy. Every generation, that easy. But you won't do it? Why? We've got to get a control of our emotions. We really do. It's a scary, scary world. I know it is. I feel it too. I'm very afraid of what the liberals are going to do if they get the Senate and the presidency. So are you. But I'm more afraid not of what's going to happen to the capital markets, because guess what? They need them too. It's not good for them. Don't get me wrong. It's not a good thing. We'll talk as we get closer to the election all the time about what a Joe Biden / Senate turnaround could mean. And it's not good. But I'm afraid of some of the discussion we have here about the greatness of our country and the greatness of individuals and the freedom to run after your dream and create great wealth and great things for all of us to enjoy. That's what capitalism is, creative destruction. So I'm afraid like you. But we seem to get, as I said earlier, it's a fire hose of negativity coming at you. And we just can't succumb to that. It's always there. We have to dial it back. That's your responsibility, to not have constant negative inputs. There's some positivity out there for sure. For absolute sure. And even if you just had a deluge of it, you still have too much negativity. I get it. We just can't let it rule our lives and our decisions in anything, but particularly in investments. All right, we're out of here. You all, it's petsofinancial.com. If you have any comments, have a great weekend.